now perhaps we can see the calf. Siegfried began to move away. Mr. Kendall nodded.
Yes, the calf. He's in corner there. I'll just lift bucket first.
It was a blatant excuse. He went over to the bucket, and as he passed behind the cow, he whipped out his spectacles, jammed them onto his nose, and directed a piercing glare at the cow's bottom. He only took an instant because he didn't want to show undue concern, but when he turned back towards us, his face registered utter despair, and he put his spectacles away with a weary gesture of defeat. As he approached, I turned and brushed against my employer.
"Where the hell is it?"
I hissed. "Up my sleeve," murmured Siegfried without moving his lips or changing expression.
"What?"
I began, but Siegfried was climbing over a gate into the makeshift pen where the calf was cornered. He was in expansive mood as he examined the little creature and injected it. He kept up a steady flow of light conversation, and Mr. Kendall, showing great character, managed to get his smile back on and answer back, but his preoccupied manner, his tortured eyes, and the repeated incredulous glances back along the bare floor in the direction of the cow betrayed the fact that he was under immense strain. Siegfried didn't hurry over the calf, and when he'd finished, he lingered a while in the yard, chatting about the weather, the way the grass was springing, the price of fat bullocks. Mr. Kendall hung on grimly, but by the time Siegfried finally waved farewell, the farmer's eyes were popping, and his face was an anguished mask. He bolted back into the barn, and as the car backed round, I could see him bent double with his glasses on again, peering into the corners. "Poor fella," I said. "He's still looking for that thing. And for God's sake, where is it anyway?" "I told you, didn't I?" Siegfried removed one arm from the wheel and shook it. A round, fleshy ball rolled down into his hand. I stared at it in amazement. "But I never saw you take it off. What happened?" "Well, I'll tell you." My employer smiled indulgently. I was fingering it over to see how deeply it was attached when I felt it begin to move. The back of it was merely encapsulated by the skin, and when I gave it another squeeze, it just popped out and shot up my sleeve. And after it had gone, the lips of the skin sprang back together again so that you couldn't see where it had been. Extraordinary thing. Tristan reached over from the back seat. "Give it to me," he said. "I'll take it back to college with me and get it sectioned. We'll find out what kind of tumour it is." His brother smiled. "Yes, I expect you'll give it some fancy name, but I'll always remember it as the only thing that shook Mr. Kendall." "Well, that was an interesting session in there," I said. "And I must say, I admire the way you dealt with that eye, Siegfried. Very smooth indeed."
"Ah, you're very kind, James," my boss murmured. "Well, that was just one of my little tricks, and of course the forceps helped a lot."
I nodded.
"Yes, yes, wonderful little things. I never seen anything like them.
Where did you get them?"
"Well, I picked them up from the instrument stall at the last veterinary congress. They cost me a packet, but they've been worth it. Look, let me show them to you."
He put his hand in his breast pocket, then his side pockets, and as he continued to rummage all over his person, the look of sick dismay spread slowly over his face. Finally, he abandoned the search, cleared his throat, and fixed his eyes on the road ahead.
I'll show you them some other time, James," he said huskily.
I didn't say anything, but I knew, and Siegfried knew, and Tristan knew. He'd left them on the farm.